Hi, and welcome to another Proxy Talk. Sitting right before me, we have Sue Tram, who is a manager of Asia Research. Daishi Takahashi, who is an Asia analyst. And Naoko Ueno, who is the senior director of Asia Team. And Kat Sung, who is another Asia analyst. And I am Zachary Watson. I'm also an Asia analyst. So to kick off, we're going to have Kat start with a rundown about what's going to happen in this China season, this upcoming China proxy season.
Thank you, Zach. So regarding the state of China's corporate governance, in the past year, we have seen an increasingly widespread amendment to articles regarding China Communist Party across the state-owned enterprises. Given that the local government 2015 guiding opinion has encouraged companies to adopt this amendment, we believe that this would be a trend that we'll continue to see in the 2018 proxy season. So for the upcoming season, we will increase our focus on the languages regarding board access rights, such as if the party's president would materially limit the board's independent judgment, we will consider recommending a vote against the amendments. So other than the party-related articles, we also believe that there will be a number of voluntary suspension of trading of A shares in China. As a matter of fact, the number of trading suspensions in the A-share market is the highest in the world. But on a positive side, the two local exchanges have implemented new trading policies. So we expect that for 2018, the numbers of voluntary suspensions may be brought back to the pre-crisis level. And in 2018, we are amending our approach to the maximum suspension caps. We would generally recommend voting against trading suspensions that exceed 3 consecutive months. In terms of regulatory environment, we are expecting an update to the Chinese securities law later this year, which was supposed to be completed by 2017, but was delayed by a slowdown in the top legislature in response to the dramatic stock market crash in 2015. So as far as we know at this point, the updates will be focusing on areas such as the enhancement of disclosures, increasing penalties for violations, and the creation of a new chapter for investor protection. We expect the update would be a positive change in terms of transparency and accountability. In closing, we are seeing that the Shanghai and London Stock Exchange take a step closer to setting up the Stock Connect, much like the current Shanghai Hong Kong Stock Connect as part of China's effort to open up its markets. Although not much progress has been made at this point, we note that the China has completed some feasibility studies in late 2017, and we expect the new plan coming up soon. So again, thank you for having me today.
Thank you so much, Kat. Now we're going to go to Du, who's going to tell us a little bit about the Hong Kong market.
Yes. So hi, everyone. This is Du Tram. And we know that every financial market has its hot governance issues, but Hong Kong has more than most. You may wonder why, but it's actually not that surprising, given the close relation of China and Hong Kong. The size, the risk, seems like China always has so much to offer. So let's say if you have to own a company, which would you rather own? A state-owned enterprise whose board takes its direction from the Chinese committees, Chinese Communist Party, as Kat just covered, or a giant technology company that allows multiple classes of shares, or biotech companies with no revenue? Pretty soon, Hong Kong Stock Exchange will offer all of them. So as you may know, or may heard of about the Hong Kong and Singapore race to the dual class share, everyone is keenly watching in anticipation of the coming of the play of the dual class share and what effect it will have on the growth of the stock market scene in Asia. Hong Kong Stock Exchange already announced the new rules, and they will implement it in early June and start to accept applications from listings from the new economy companies by the end of the month. So while we're waiting for the result of the consultation and the publication of the exact requirements, this is the right time for us to discuss about the proposals in the Hong Kong market. Although the Hong Kong Stock Exchange has proposed that companies with dual class shares must have an additional corporate governance committee to ensure that they are managed for the benefit of all shareholders, Glassdoor generally believes dual class voting structure are not in the best interest of common shareholders. And we believe one vote, one share is the way to go, since it operates as a safeguard for common shareholders, ensuring that those who hold a significant minority of shares are able to weigh in on issues set forth by the board. We also believe that companies should have share capital structure that protects the interests of non-controlling shareholders, as well as any controlling entities. Even though we will review such adoption on case-by-case basis, we would typically recommend voting against proposal that we believe the proposal, the proposed shareholding structure and voting rights will be detrimental to the interests of existing shareholders. And as Pat already covered briefly, similar to China, Hong Kong is starting to establish Communist Party committees and making them a key governing body to advise their board on like operational, personnel, and strategy matters. Although investors may already realize that it is a political reality of investing in China, we should have taken into account that risk when investing in this country. So during the 2018 proxy season, for Hong Kong companies, we will be extremely careful when examining the decision-making landscape within the company in question to assess if amendments requested by the proposal are reasonable. We will recommend that shareholders vote against such proposal if we notice that the existing law regulation or the proposed amendment will provide party committees with excessive board assets, rights, or would prevent a board from independent decision-making. And we will continue to carefully monitor how other companies within the market, either China or Hong Kong, how they are responding to issues related to party establishment, as well as any regulatory changes. And last but not least, we come back to the universal topic of board composition. Just like previous year, Glassdoor will continue to closely review the composition of the board and may note as a concern instances where we believe that the board lacks representation of diverse director candidates, including those boards which have no female directors. We were not making any voting recommendations in the coming proxy season, but we will monitor it, and it will be one of many considerations we make when evaluating companies' oversized structures. Yes, so that basically wrap up our Hong Kong 2018 preview. Thank you, Zach, for having us here.
No problem. It's interesting how the China and Hong Kong markets are starting to bleed into each other more. Always fascinating to see new developments in that arena. I'm going to talk about really quickly some new developments in the Taiwan market and what we can expect from the upcoming Taiwan proxy season. So there's two major issues of contention in this upcoming season. The first is e-voting, and the second is sort of related in the nomination system that's being adopted more and more with every passing year. So the Taiwan Stock Exchange has initially, in 2016, set some requirements based on paid-in capital and number of shareholders that certain companies had to adopt electronic voting for shareholder meetings. And as the years have gone by, every year, the Taiwan Stock Exchange has tightened the restrictions requiring more and more companies to adopt e-voting. And so that's kind of culminated in 2018, in January, where the Stock Exchange mandated that every company has to adopt electronic voting. So what we're going to see for that is increased shareholder participation rates in meeting, especially in terms of foreign shareholders and minority shareholders who were previously not able to attend meetings in Taiwan for their holdings. And this is kind of tied into the new nomination system. And the nomination system requires that director bios be released 40 days before an annual general meeting and 20 days before an EGM. And so previously, what the previous situation basically was is during the meeting, the company could not release the director candidates previous to the meeting. And so you would have to show up physically at the meeting to see who the candidates were and vote on them. So obviously foreign shareholders and anyone who was voting by proxy just basically a lot of times had no idea who was up for election. So the nomination system kind of fixes that. And it's going to become even more important as more companies adopt electronic voting. They're going to need to use the nomination system, or else all these people who are voting electronically aren't going to be able to see the candidates and are going to be very, very upset. So we're probably going to see an increased adoption of the nomination system and as a sort of secondary phenomena to the e-voting. Hopefully, in addition, we'll be seeing more English language disclosure as well. In the past couple of years, we have seen a slight increase in that disclosure, and it's been getting better and better every year. We have high hopes for the Taiwan market. They are doing a great job. And now we're going to hop on over to Japan. Naoko, what should shareholders expect from the Japanese proxy season? Any new regulatory developments?
Hi there. Thank you. So I'm Naoko Ueno. I'm head of Asian research and specializing Japanese market. In Japan, in 2 months, we will see the new update for the regulatory side. In Japan, 2015 corporate governance code was established, and now financial service agency is reviewing corporate governance code to amend principle in the guideline. And currently they are reviewing about maybe creating engagement guideline for investors and issuers. And in addition to financial information, it's more non-financial information will be discussed, should be discussed in those engagement meetings. And they will have several guidelines for the how to have constructive engagement. In addition to those new developments, corporate governance code, it is reportedly said that there will be 1/3 board independence requirement. Code may suggest regardless board structure, that Japanese company board should have 1/3 board independent director. Also, it's as the government is pushing for last few years, code may suggest 1 female director on the board for the companies. And those new code, it hasn't been final decision is made yet. However, those 3 points will probably widely discuss in next few months, and FSA is expected to release the new code in before the busy June season.
Any other regulatory developments, or is that pretty much it on that front?
Regulatory update, it's pretty much that's it. 1/3 board independence or 1 female director, it will be the most focal point for the Japanese proxy season. Mm-hmm. And issuers and investors, they were not sure what that code will be, but a lot of issuers are preparing for just in case mm-hmm. the code is announced. Even the code will be applied from following season, but many companies will try to prepare for the new development.
Priority making the changes before it's actually. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any other phenomenons you think are going to be happening this proxy season?
So because of that new code, we expect to see more independent director on the board, regardless whatever board structure. And also we expected to see more two-tier structural companies to shift to one-tier and one committee structure, which was introduced in 2015 also. Because it's just this is like sad. This is not great fact, but because to meet the one-third board independence, it's actually shifting to one-tier with audit committee will help company to reduce actual numbers outside member. Because two-tier board system, currently they have to have outside director on the board and also outside statutory auditor. So it's kind of, if they are two-tier board system, and then like code suggests one-third board independence, it's actually that two-tier board system company have to have more independent directors than other companies. And secondly, we will see that more female, I would say, more company will have at least one female director. However, I will not expect it's not gonna be multiple female directors, but at least I expect that many companies will have more disclosure about their future plan, about the board diversity, including gender diversity. And not for the board composition, but also compensation for director. It's historically Japanese companies directors receive only fixed fee and cash bonuses. However, because of the code and other regulatory development, a lot of companies now implementing stock option or some sort of the equity stock compensation plan for directors. And we will continue to see more companies will adapt those type of the compensation plan. But we have to pay attention. The company will say link to performance. However, Japanese companies still lack of the information how those plan is linked to performance. The company just say this is a link to performance, but we don't know how those plan will help, what type of the measurement they are using.
Right.
And also, shareholder proposal. In Japan, like historically, like everybody knows Japanese processes, and we see like many crazy type of shareholder proposal. Like it's many years ago, it was squat toilet for some security companies. It's supposed to try to help that everybody's like a work ethic, but that was in the past. It's actually Japanese shareholder proposal. It's more rigid these days, and it's more concerned about the governance structure of the companies. For example, CEO and the chairman separation, or disclosure of individual compensation. So investors should expect to see more about those type of shareholder proposal to the Japanese companies. And for the practical side for June season, it's just well known Japanese proxy season is just crazy. Like every single company will hold that meeting at the end of June. And it's also in the past. That is also in the past. However, not many companies moving the meeting from the June. However, now June proxy season is longer. So in the June, that's like 3 weeks of the June, the company will spread out their meeting, like about 2,000 companies, spread out the meeting. But it will help the companies, because it will help investors, because companies start disclosing the meeting notice. It's at least like 21 days to even like 40 days. So even like meeting is concentrated in June, but it's because more companies are disclosing the information much earlier than just like legally requires 14 days before. so the investor will have more time. I don't know if that is sufficient time because number of the companies. However, investors should expect to have more time to review the agendas and the companies before the meeting. And also, because the engagement activity is very popular among the Japanese companies, so Japanese company may try to engage with many investors if those companies have in their mind something going on in their meeting or something going on in the company. And so, like, investors should expect the company will reach out to them. And hopefully, it's not going to be too busy time. But Japanese companies and a lot of regulatory development, even though June season will expect to be as crazy as previous year, but it's many good things is going on in Japan. So hopefully that June season will not as crazy as previous years.
That's good to hear. It sounds like a ton of positive developments. I was hoping, Daichi, that you could let us know if there was any changes in policy this year.
Hi, everyone. I'm here to update everyone on the summary changes for the Japanese policy guidelines for 2018 proxy season. We've mainly changed four sections of the guidelines. And the first section is the board commitments policy. The second section is the board gender diversity section. The third section is the takeover defense section. And the fourth section is the article amendments on authority to determine dividends. Firstly, the board commitments for the board commitments policy. While we've generally refrained from recommending votes against individuals who serve on an excessive number of boards within group companies, we've further updated our guidelines to consider the group companies as equivalent to one directorship. This change is actually something that we've applied internally before, but we've began to clarify it in our guidelines. For the next section, we have made a new section for board gender diversity. It's been long overdue. And we've just clarified to that Glass Lewis will continue to closely review the composition of the board when considering gender diversity on boards. And while we won't make any voting recommendations in 2018, starting 2019, for constituents comprising of the topics Core 30 and Large 70, Glass Lewis will generally recommend votes against the chair of the company for two-tier boards. For one tier with one committee and one tier with three committee structures, we will vote, recommend votes against the nominating committee chair when the boards don't consist of any female members. In the case of two-tier board structures, we'll continue to examine the board of directors and board of statutory auditors as a whole. And when we make these voting recommendations, we'll carefully review if a company's disclosure of its diversity considerations and if they have any specific plans to sort of address the diversity in the, at the respective companies. We will also consider if the company has provided a sufficient rationale for not having any female board members. We've heard in the past, in terms of the hiring history, there are very few females that were hired previously in the executive tracks, so it's very hard to appoint council members internally, and even for externally, there are very limited number of female directors or board members. In regards to the takeover defense plans, we've changed our guidelines to reflect our voting recommendation of voting against all adoption and renewals of takeover defense plans where the board of directors is not at least majority independent. And we want to emphasize that it is for the board of directors. While we usually apply the independence thresholds for two-tier companies, we usually combine the board of directors and board of statutory auditors and see the one-third independence threshold, but this is for the board of directors. We're looking for a majority independent board of directors. Regarding the authority to determine dividends, in cases where articles are amended to eliminate the shareholders' ability to vote on matters considering the allocation of profits at shareholder meetings, we will recommend votes against the article amendment. We typically see two types of these amendments, and one may delegate the authority to determine dividends to the board, whereas the other type may just exclude a shareholder vote votes relating to authority to determine dividends.
Thank you for sharing, Daichi. So I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you everyone for coming and participating in this proxy talk. We'll see you next time. Thank you guys for listening.
This recording should not be considered a solicitation of proxies by Glass Lewis. Glass Lewis has not sought permission to do so from the SEC, nor will it. This recording is for information purposes only and should not be construed as providing investment advice. In addition, Glass Lewis makes no representation regarding the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any statement of any of our speakers in this recording. If you have any questions, please contact us via our website, www.glasslewis.com.